Will you guys be actively listening if I read scripture? This is a debate we have on the teaching team. Every time I say I'm going to read something, they say, don't do it. You can't read more than two verses to these people because they'll just fall asleep. I'm just kidding. We love you. We love you. Let me read. When Christ came as high priest of good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, that is, not man-made, that is to say, not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of blood, of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all. By his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifer sprinkled on those who were ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? If that doesn't scream Easter story, I don't know what does. What's the hard part to buy in this is that what Jesus did can give us a clear conscience. Think about that. How many of us have come in here with guilt? How many of us have come off some crazy bender last night and we're here looking for redemption? And the beauty of it is we don't have to go to this tabernacle where God exists. And we don't have to bring goats or birds or anything else to kill for blood sacrifice to God. Wild, huh? You guys are laughing. Candy, what are you talking about? It's a shame that I know your name. Now I got to call you out by name from the stage. It's great. Anyway, so this blood sacrifice that Jesus makes... Let me keep reading. Can I do that? Are you guys zoning out on me? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. This is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. When Moses had proclaimed every commandment of the law to all the people, he took the blood of calves together with water, scarlet wool, and branches of hyssop, and sprinkled the scroll and all the people. He said, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you to keep." In the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus brought forgiveness. Jesus broke all the rules. Jesus made God accessible to us. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to me," or no one, I don't even know the verse. "No one comes to the Father except through me." And that's what he's talking about, is I made that sacrifice, I did these things, and you were atoned by me. Is that good news? Is that the Easter story? John tells us that he did not come to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Is that an Easter story? Jesus didn't come to make us a bunch of hard-nosed, rule-following, funeral picketing. Death-giving people, did he? He came to save us. He came to forgive us. He came to make us whole. He came to restore creation to what God originally created. You guys, is this kind of coming back as a theme for you as we talked about it in our faith narrative? God's restoring what we did here through the very beginning of creation where God made Adam and Eve and he dwelled with them. That is what Jesus did, is he made that available to us again so that we could dwell with God. That's the Easter story, amen? I don't need to show you a video of Jesus being nailed to the cross and walking out of a grave or walking out of a tomb. I'm here to tell you that you are forgiven, and all you have to do is say, yeah, Jesus, I believe it. I understand it. I get it. And if you don't believe it, it doesn't matter because he did it for you anyway. Right? One person agrees. So that's what we're here today to celebrate. That's what we're here today to sing about. That's what we're here today to break bread with one another and commune with one another, is the forgiveness that Jesus brought. The blood of him that was spilled, the body of him that was broken. That's what communion represents. That's it. This powerful symbol of what one man did for us so that we could be in contact with God. Is that the Easter story? Amen. Let me pray for us. God, we love you. God, we don't always understand you. God, I don't understand forgiveness like I want to. I don't understand the sacrifice that you made to give me a clear conscience like I want to. But I do know that what you've said is real, that what you said is true, that what you have done is for my good. God, that you would restore us, your people, your creatures, your creation, to what you originally wanted, and that's just to love you and to love others and to bring this kingdom, this kingdom life that you've asked us to bring and live out here to others. This life of love, this life of forgiveness, this life of sacrifice. God, you are so good, and we thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. We thank you that he takes this old covenant and takes place of that. God, I'm thankful that Jesus didn't change his mind. As you hear him praying in the garden, God, if there's any other way, take this from me. I don't want to do this. But in the end, it doesn't matter because it's your will, not mine. God, I thank you for giving Jesus the determination, the willpower to just go through with being that sacrifice for me, for us. God, you are good, and we love you, and we celebrate Easter. We celebrate these stories, these true, unbelievable stories, God, of your love. And it's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.